all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, February 15th, 2024. And it's another beautiful day to have you here up north live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or its vast empire of social media and podcast options on a snowy morning here on Lake Wissota and a snowy morning across much of Wisconsin. We'll talk about that in a moment right after we say hello to Mary. Mary writes in on Facebook, hello from Wanakee. So nice to have you along. You can add your conversation on Facebook or by phone or by text. Let's see, we've got a studio line. You can call up 844-967-2789 or just send us a text message. That number is also 844-967-2789. You can use the Civic Media app to reach us. Well, I mentioned the social media. You can also email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. It would be great to hear from you and hear what's on your mind or how much snow you got, because not a lot of snowfall reports have come in. We'll talk about what we've got in just a second. I got a question for you, though. Do you consider yourself a workhorse or a show pony? It's, you know, that kind of phrasing I've been using for all of my time, either evaluating politicians or being one, because it seems that that's the different flavors of politicians, the ones who want to do the work and the ones who just want to show off. And we're going to talk about the difference both in Madison and in Washington, D.C., as we work through the course of the morning. You know, we've got Democrats introducing a new paid family leave proposal, while Republicans again try to pass a tax plan favoring the wealthy. Then in Washington, you've got Republicans who've actually decided to go home for a couple of weeks, even as the clock ticks toward their latest threat of a government shutdown. Then in our second hour, we'll talk about the increasing number of polls that show how many Americans, especially of a certain persuasion, are buying into the latest conspiracy theories out there. And Kristen Lyerly will be here with our Women Win Wisconsin segment, this time featuring Sarah Harrison of Brookfield and her decision to run for a seat in the legislature. All right, let's see what we've got for temperatures out there right now. It's 26 here on Lake Wissota, 22 in Hayward. Park Falls is at 24, Wausau 28 degrees. Green Bay is at 33, La Crosse 31, Wisconsin Rapids 32, Oshkosh 33, Madison's at 33, and it is 30 degrees in Waukesha, where we find the man, the myth, the legend, Greg Buck.
You standing by,
who drove up from drove up from not snowy Kenosha.
Yes.
How are you?
Rainy. I'm good, you know. Yeah. Drove carefully, drove safely.
Cans at 10 and 2.
Yeah, pretty much. Can't say the same for my compatriots on the road. Some of them with their four-wheel drive trucks and big rigs driving like, you know, it's a summer day.
Uh-huh. Yeah, never useful.
Nope.
When they do that.
Nope.
And there's, I couldn't tell you, you know, whether anybody's, you know, in a ditch right now anyplace, but I can tell you with the snowfall totals, it's fair to guess that anybody driving like an idiot's going to wind up there. So not much on the map in terms of, you know, reports that have been turned in right now, but the 6 to 8 inch band is more or less in the Twin Cities, going from the southwest suburbs to the northeast suburbs, and then getting into Wisconsin in western Polk and St. Croix counties. Our friends in Amory got 7.5 inches as of 5 a.m. Phillips, Park Falls area, you got about 5 inches. Rhinelander got 5.5 inches. Eau Claire at 3.5 inches, and I'd say it's about 3.5 inches here in Chippewa Falls. Dorchester over in Marathon County was at 3.5 inches as of 3 a.m. So a lot of 3 to 5 inch around here, obviously a little less as you work your way south, and Brittany Merlot will have more of that forecast coming up in just a bit. But I think at first I thought I was going to ask you to play Sleigh Ride or something and try to be all cute and funny, and then I realized that some people would, you know, throw their radios, and we just don't, we can't really have that. We like you.
I mean, come on. I can provide that kind of stuff for them. It's. I mean, there you go. There you go, buddy. You ask it, I shall give. Your command is my wish.
You are the gift that always keeps on giving.
Yeah, it's... Let's just play this all... the entire
show. You are the white elephant of Christmas gifts when it comes to music, and I appreciate that. I like the commitment to a bit.
It's never going to stop.
That will never not get my respect. I like that very much. The daily newsletter from Up North News comes out every morning about 5 a.m. We'd love to have you be a subscriber. You just head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click newsletter up top, and here's what Christina Lorre's put in there today. One by one, other states are lapping Wisconsin in healthcare coverage, especially for rural residents. And so we have an article in there based in large part on the interview that I did with our compatriots at the Cardinal and Pine, the Courier newsroom outlet in North Carolina, about Republicans in that state embracing Medicaid expansion. Thank you, Gary, for noting on Facebook that Greg is once again major mourning by playing Paul McCartney. He's taking a victory lap right now on that. So, yeah, we talk about rural health care and Medicaid expansion. We also, in the newsletter today, talk about Real ID, what it is, when you'll need it, why it could change, what it is about your older driver's license that might need to be updated to the Real ID system. And... could AI be your next travel agent? There's a new tool from ChatGPT that claims it can plan a trip anywhere in the world. So we tried it in Wisconsin, Chippewa Falls, to be specific. Can an AI travel agent get you around Chippewa Falls and make a day of it? Find out what it came up with in our newsletter. Sign up for it again over at upnorthnewswi.com. I guess we... should get the bad, sad news out of the way first. We're not going to, you know, ignore yet another mass shooting in America. But again, this program being dedicated to the policies and politics that make things happen or keep things from happening, you already have a pretty good idea where I will stand on making much for comments on what happened in Kansas City yesterday. At the end of the parade for the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, that gunfire broke out at the end near Union Station. And by the time it was over, one woman was dead. Just about two dozen people had been shot and wounded, including many children. It wasn't a school shooting. But it was, again, a mass shooting in public that left more than a dozen children or so shot and wounded. And that's what passes for normal in the latest sports celebration in the country to be marred by gun violence. There was a shooting that wounded several people last year in Denver after the Nuggets NBA championship. There was gunfire last year near the Texas Rangers World Series championship parade. And don't tell me it's a city problem. Oh, it's Kansas City. Oh, it's Chicago. Oh, it's whatever. Every one of these places is run by state legislatures that make the laws for the state. And the number of legislatures that are continuing to look the other way, much like our Congress, when it comes to mass shootings, is downright depressing and frustrating. In Joe Biden's first half of his first term with the Democratic majority, you finally saw the first update in gun laws in 30 years in trying to make things a little safer out there in the country. But there is so much more to be done. There were 800 police officers around that parade route. So again, the whole notion of, well, we just need more cops on the street. No. There were about 1 million people around. We don't know how many people were armed. But again, the whole note of, well, more guns? If there were good guys with a gun, could that have stopped it? No. Nothing's faster than a bullet. by the time any good guy with a gun can pull out something, you've got children laying on the ground, dying, screaming, bleeding, what have you. Missouri's Republican governor, Governor Mike Parson, was there. He was seen running for his life away from the shooting, which is odd when you consider his big-time support for more guns in public. He posts things like, we oppose, this was from a couple of years ago, we oppose government outreach, overreach, and any unlawful efforts to limit our access to firearms. Hashtag Second Amendment. I guess it's really easy to talk big till you're running for your life as children are being shot dead around you, huh? We've got other people posting that, I'm now going to dedicate myself to gun safety. And I welcome that. Welcome to the issue. But it shouldn't take that you knew of or knew somebody in a crowd who'd been shot or killed in a mass shooting. This simply has to stop. More needs to be done on gun safety. More needs to be done on mental health. More needs to be done on streamlining our courts. There's so much that can be done, and instead when we have people just posting hashtag Second Amendment, it tells you that we will again get worked up over this, then there will be a lull for a while, and then there will be the next mass shooting. Hopefully at some point more people take this seriously full time and work toward electing people to our legislatures who are more on the side of our children and ourselves to gather safely in crowds than on the side of potential mass shooters, which is what we have right now in Washington, D.C., and in Madison, and in Missouri, and elsewhere. Politicians who, if you put a gun to their head, they're going to choose the potential mass shooter and protecting what that person can do under the guise of hunting and sports shooting and everything else, when there's never been any restrictions moved on that. It's about keeping guns out of the hands of people who would use them for something just like this. But unfortunately, in legislatures, Congress, and elsewhere, again, we've got these show horses. We've got show ponies instead of workhorses. And we'll have another example coming up right after this little pause here before I let you know that live from Lake Wissota, all across the Civic Media Radio Network, this is Up North News Radio for this Thursday morning, February 15th. Glad to have you along. Love to have your comments. We'll be back with more in just a bit. Anniversary to the band Chicago. We'll tell you more about that in today's history lesson and some musical memories coming up just about a half hour from now. Still ahead, Pam Yonke and the Midwest Farm Report. Joe Zepecki joins us shortly thereafter. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We'll talk to Assembly candidate Sarah Harrison of Brookfield and Civic Media's Luke Mathers all along the way yet on this Thursday morning. Greg, of all the news options out there, your CNNs and your MSNBCs and the growing number of right-wing networks that are out there, where are you on News Nation, which is on the spot that WGN in Chicago used to occupy, and now they tried to brand themselves as this like centrist news outfit, and I wonder if it's something you've ever caught as you're a typical news consumer.
Yeah.
You're a typical American.
I'm a regular Joe.
I
like my coffee
Joe.
Hot and my yes. Donuts crunchy. I don't know what that means. honestly, my first tip off of News Nation was when now fired anchor Chris
Cuomo.
Thank you. Wow.
Ooh. Yes. Yep.
Went there and very shortly after the firing, and I was like, well, okay, then if News Nation hired him, then it's going to be like a CNN-esque type of thing. And I've watched a little bit, and it's really, anytime I've watched it, it's just kind of been the reporting of the news. But I hear from other people, there's like, oh, it's kind of right wing though. I'm like, well, I don't know. I mean, I'm only seeing the news, so I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't really have an opinion because I don't really go to News Nation for news at all.
Well, and that would be where I am. And I am what you would call a news junkie.
Yeah.
But the few times that I've kind of dipped my toe into it, it's I haven't found a discernible, you know, right or left wing bias or anything. I just didn't find it very entertaining. I thought that there was
isn't that a weird? Bit more, your news isn't entertaining.
Not entertaining, but like actually, what I meant was there's a lot of entertainment, a lot of fluff there. But it didn't grab me as having a serious grasp of the news issues, you know, that we need. So yeah, that's what I mean when I say entertaining. I still want the news to be presented, you know, professionally in a conversational way, but it's got to be informative. It can't just be, you know, a mile wide and an inch deep.
Yeah.
But what News Nation is becoming is the reason that I bring it up.
Yeah.
Because the newest correspondent they added, a young a guy who I think is going to make a good name for himself in this journalism business, Geraldo Rivera, is who they just brought on board. And it prompted this social media post from me yesterday. Chris Cuomo, Elizabeth Vargas, Ashley Banfield, George Will, Dan Abrams.
George Will?
And now Geraldo. You realize what they've invented there? They've invented the love boat of news. This is every cast off from left, right, and center. And they bring him in, as, you know, to say, you know, I'll bet this horse has got one more race in her. And look, I really liked Ashley Banfield, you know, back in the day when George Will was an up and coming writer. I'm young enough to remember that.
Yeah.
And going, wow, this guy really knows his stuff. I don't agree with a lot of it, but he really knows his stuff. You know, I learned stuff when I read from George Will. And trust me, I don't want to turn this into ageism as a guy who's about to, you know, cross into his sixth decade of life here. My point being that it's going to get this reputation unless some of its younger or, you know, middle age, whatever you want, mid-career folks,
yeah,
really start to give this network a reputation for being something other than cast-offs, you know?
Yeah, I mean, two things. One, News Nation sounds like the generic network on a TV show.
Yes, yep.
It's not a very exciting name, but also, you know, coming from the mind of a wrestling fan, their lineup sounds like what happens when the WWE says, you know, you've been wrestling for us for a long time, and well, good luck in your future endeavors. And they start doing these independent circuits like, oh my God, Hacksaw Jim Duggan is coming to West Allis? I can't wait. Yep. It's like they're getting all these, like, you know, CNN doesn't want them, Fox doesn't want them, they're not right enough for this, they're not left enough for that. So it's like, all right, why don't you guys come here and let's tell some stories about the good old days. Hey, Geraldo, tell the vault story again.
Tell the vault story. Oh, my God. I watched the Al Capone vault thing live back then. I think I was in college at the time. And just, I remember both laughing and being angry that I'd committed that amount of time. I mean, it was my freshman year of college. I was living with my dad. We had it on at least two TVs, one in the kitchen and one in the basement where the family room was.
Yeah.
As you're floating between, you kind of go and go, where are they at? What are they doing?
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing going on there.
Bupkis.
When it comes to middle of the road broadcasts, the one that I really liked, I didn't get any kind of, you know, political tug one way or another. It was straight down the middle. When Robin Mead was doing the morning news on Headline News or CNN Headline News, as it was known, and she did that for quite a few years. And then CNN, they've been so desperate for a morning show forever that one of the new bosses, who's, again, long since gone, took her and that fine program off the air and started doing other things. But, you know, and they're running nothing but murder shows, which I get is they're people that love the murder shows. Love it. I don't. I actually stopped watching because of all the murder show commercials. I found it depressing. You're scaring the children in the morning. And I think News Nation is trying to get that kind of vibe again. Like, it's light. It's conversational. And I, again, I'm not saying it's bad in any way, shape, or form. I just saw the Geraldo thing and had to bring it up. Like, I don't know if that's going to be the life ring you're looking for. You know?
If I want to hear people extemporize on topics, I'll go to like a CNN and an MSNBC. You know, people are like, I watch Fox because I want to know what they're thinking. I'm like, I know what they're thinking. I don't need to hear it. But the one guy that, you know, national news that I go to, David Muir, that man.
Do you? Yep.
Oh, ABC Nightly News. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. He's has his arm up. He's telling the news. And that's all he wants to do. He doesn't want to give you his opinions. He just wants to tell you what's going on in the country. And I would watch him for hours if that's what he did.
I probably should be watching, and I will admit that I still watch NBC, but it's almost more hate watching now from what the network used to be.
MSNBC or NBC?
NBC. Okay. You know, what they have let themselves become to try to like somehow counterbalance MSNBC.
Yeah.
And it's extremely frustrating to watch the both sidesism and things like that. But one more news story before Pam Yonke brings up the farm report here. One thing that you will hear this week is that Congress is on vacation, even though the next government shutdown date is coming up in just a couple of weeks. But much like we talked about Mike Gallagher leaving Congress in the Green Bay area, Tennessee Republican Congressman Mark Green, the current chair of the House Homeland Security Committee, said yesterday he will retire at the end of this Congress. This makes this guy from Tennessee the fourth Republican committee chair to decide not to run for re-election this year. Most people wait practically a lifetime to become a committee chair, to get that kind of seniority in the House, and then they don't want to leave. You've got a lot of Republicans looking at the environment around them now and going, kind of makes you wonder what's going to happen with Mike Gallagher's China committee as well. So we'll talk more about Mike Gallagher's decision with Joe Zepecki. That to be followed by Kristen Lyerly and Brittany Merlot with the forecast telling us about today's snowfall. All ahead, you're up north. Come back now on this Thursday morning on Up North News Radio. It is important that as we talk about very current events in Wisconsin news and politics, that we let you know that Joe Zepecki and I are chatting here later on Wednesday. So there's always the chance of breaking news. But right now, we're going to take a look at things as they are at the moment for whether voters in Wisconsin are going to get new maps and who's going to draw them. Joe Zepecki, good morning. Hello.
Hello. My favorite SportsCenter bit of all time is when they're talking about somebody who's newly on the injured list, and you know they list them as like out or questionable, doubtful, and then there's that day-to-day designation.
Yes.
So you'd say like Pat Kreitlow is out with a hamstring. He's listed as day-to-day. Yeah. But aren't we all?
We are.
And
we're all day-to-day.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like the maps right now are just day-to-day, maybe even hour-to-hour. So yes. Buckle up, folks. We ain't home free just yet.
Nope. No, we are not. And as I mentioned on Todd Alba's show Wednesday afternoon, I said, you know, there have just been too many other places, Ohio, Mississippi, North Carolina, where you thought old maps, clearly gerrymandered maps, were dead, but through delay tactics or other reasons, the old maps just wouldn't die and had to get used for another election. I'm not saying that's going to happen here. I'm just saying, Joe, like you said, it's day to day. We don't know yet what voters are going to have in November.
It's in play. Hey, listen, we are talking on Wednesday afternoon. It is still Valentine's Day, and so I feel like I can educate our listeners. The longest novel ever written in the English language was Marian Bad My Love by Mark Leach. And I feel like the saga of Wisconsin's maps in the 21st century is getting to the point where it could rival the 2.5 million words that are required to tell the tale of Marian Bad My Love. So it might feel like we're getting close to the end, but I have no confidence in Speaker Voss. I have no confidence in the special interests and the corporate interests and big businesses in this state to not immediately race to a courthouse and try to hold on to these maps as currently enacted for as long as possible. And I think that's one of the questions at this hour is, okay, The legislature has passed the governor's maps. Now what? We're waiting for the governor. Mm-hmm. It seems like the governor is going to sign those. And I think that at this hour, there are still probably people who are asking him to take a good long look and think through strategically, you know, how do we get maps in place as quickly as possible so that fairer maps are the law of the land. And as Tony Evers always says, the will of the people is the law of the land in the state of Wisconsin. He's reminded of it by his own conference room. And whether it's the Evers map that he signs, whether it is a map chosen by a process underway in the judiciary, we know we will have fairer maps, but it is okay that we don't yet know exactly what those maps will look like and what those lines will be, because we've got a little bit of time before candidates need to declare and get on the ballot for the state legislature this fall.
Right.
So it's my last counsel of patience. Mind the direction. Directionally, we are heading in a positive direction, even if we can't tell at this hour exactly how it's going to shake out.
And to continue with the author concerns that I have, that George R.R. Martin might be in charge of drawing the maps right after he finishes The Winds of Winter. It could be a little while. But again,
indeed,
it's really not about which map at this point. In my mind, it's a whether, you know, there will be a map or not. And, you know, thankfully, when I'm off next week, you guys can take care of all that for me. And we'll just come back to something nice and clean and known as we head into the elections, I guess.
From we'll your see. Lips to whoever's upstairs' ears.
There you go. All right. Also, at the Capitol this week, the Republican legislators took a third kick at the can in terms of some kind of a tax cut because of our record budget surplus. The first two times, it was very clear how skewed they were toward the very wealthy. Evers vetoed the last one outright. He creatively vetoed the very first one. Now we've got this third one that he says he wants to take a look at first, but it does have a bit of a deja vu feel to it. Unless you see something in the writing or the packaging of what passed this week that tells you the governor might do something different.
I don't know what the governor's going to do. I'm not going to sit here and pretend otherwise. I think some of this is good tax policy, stuff like expanding child tax credits. I think some of it is fine policy, like exempting the first $75,000 of retirees' fixed income. And I, as an individual, am genuinely torn over what to do with the bulk of the income tax cut. And I would not be surprised to hear the governor's in a similar bind. And the reason for that is the mockery that Republicans made of our progressive tax code in the last decade or so. The way that they have chopped and hawed and, you know, sawed and made fewer tax brackets means that we have the frankly absurd reality that if you make $19,000 a year, or you make $150,000 a year, you pay the same rate on your state income tax. Those are two very different lived realities. If you are making $19,000 a year, you are having a really, really, really difficult time meeting your basic needs, housing and food and healthcare, much less, you know, a bite out every once in a while or a night at the movies. If you're making $150,000 a year, you are making like two and change times the median income in the state of Wisconsin, which is about $60,000 a year. So the notion that we should treat that $19,000 a year earner and the $150,000 a year earner the same is frankly absurd. And the only fix would be to reintroduce another bracket, and Republicans aren't going to do that. So I don't envy the position that Governor Evers is in, but I hope people appreciate the fact that we walked through that, because a lot of times this whole conversation gets shorthanded to, well, taxpayers should keep more of their own money. Yeah, and taxpayers should pay for things like roads and bridges and schools and fire and EMS and police safety, and that's the deal, right? That's what we do as a community and as a society. And when politicians use rhetoric as a weapon to make you hate paying taxes, there's a reason for that. And so I would just ask people to remember that and remember how ginormous they have made that tax bracket as they can, as the governor considers what he's going to do.
And I'll say what we again said yesterday in talking about all the school referendums out there. And look, nobody in politics likes to say this. So I'm going to go ahead and say it and remind people the facts are the facts. Wisconsin's tax burden, the percentage that we all pay out of pocket for state and local taxes, is at a historic low. And while Republicans want to take some kind of credit for that, what they've done is massively underfunded the things that we need, like public schools and things like that. So to try to give more of a tax cut, like you said, to the upper tax brackets, I mean, if you want to give a tax break to the middle class, absolutely. The governor wants that. Everybody wants that. Knock yourself out. It's when you start turning it into a giveaway, you know, for people who are already at a historic low tax burden, that it looks more like you're taking care of your pals rather than taking care of, you know, the public at large.
And let's be really clear. Republicans have no interest in ever taking credit for how low Wisconsin's tax burden is. All they want to do is cut it further. Democrats, if they pass the middle class tax cut and were responsible for lowering taxes to what they are today while meeting the state's priorities, would crow about it for a decade. Republicans only have one move: cut taxes. They believe it is the solution to everything, and it's just not, because less money doesn't build new roads, new schools, or, you know, a new police chief or four more sworn officers for a small community up in Northwest Wisconsin dealing with the fentanyl crisis. The conservatives never want to talk about that part of it. And that's a shame, because it leaves people without all the facts to make informed choices.
Right. Democrats this week introduced a paid family leave proposal, a classic messaging politics in that, of course, the bill won't go anywhere in a Republican-controlled legislature. But why is it important that Democrats continue to introduce and talk about their ideas, you know, late in a legislative session like this?
Well, it's the flip side of the conversation we just had, which is people need to know what the choices are and where the two parties stack up. You know, the way our politics is increasingly nationalized, there's not a lot of information available when it comes to who your state assembly person candidates are. So knowing that generally it is Democrats who are fighting for paid family and medical leave and Republicans are opposed to it, there's value for the voters of Wisconsin and the folks who live in this state in knowing where the two parties line up on this and a whole host of other issues.
Congressman Gallagher, we've talked at length about his abrupt announcement that he is retiring. I remember we went through this with Sean Duffy in the 7th District a couple years back when he surprised everybody by abruptly saying, nope, I'm done too. So I ask you, on behalf of his constituents, do we think he was already working out details of a new gig, a parachute, or is there a chance he got so much blowback over his no vote on impeaching the Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas that he made a rather spontaneous decision to say, in the words of Cartman at South Park, screw you guys, I'm going home?
Can I take C other?
Yes, by all means.
Mike Gallagher is not going to be wanting for job opportunities. He's a very capable, accomplished young man. He's younger than I am, I got to call him young. And I don't think this has anything to do with the Mayorkas vote. I would ask anybody who thinks there's some grand, you know, plot or scheme or conspiracy here to just consider, would you want to go to work every day and be aligned with Matt Gaetz and Jim Jordan and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert? Mike Gallagher is not the first Republican, and what I would say is sort of like real Republican, an actual traditional Reagan conservative Republican, to throw up their hands and go, this is nuts. Well, I don't want to be a part of this. There's scores more Republicans who are making that choice than Democrats in this Congress, because it's a Republican conference that can't govern itself. See McCarthy, Kevin, and Johnson, Mike. Yep. It is a Republican Party that is so adrift in terms of a policy agenda. See 2020 lack of a policy platform as a party for the first time in the Republican Party's history. And, you know, they're in it. The majority of Republicans in Congress are in it for the clout and to dunk on Republicans and to troll. And, you know, you can disagree with Mike Gallagher on issues, but I don't think he's ever been guilty of being that kind of worst kind of creature in Washington, which is somebody who's there to make it about themselves and to play politics as opposed to just doing what he thinks is the right thing. So I'm sorry to see Mike Gallagher go. It doesn't mean I agree with him on much, but I think we should keep that perspective in mind.
So the two questions that we wrap things up with on this start with assuming no huge changes to the boundaries. Does any Democrat have a puncher's chance this year in that 8th district the way it is set up right now? And before we even get to that point,
yes, is the short answer. Yes.
Well, and are those odds helped by the Republican primary? However it turns out to be, is it going to be another case of MAGA versus mainstream and it gets really ugly and that only helps an eventual Democratic nominee?
It probably. And that's one of the reasons that despite, you know, an uphill climb, this is doable. I mean, we don't know what we don't know. And the 9 months or so we have left is an eternity in politics. And we know that in every type of district in the country, Democrats right now are overperforming. Picked up another seat in Congress just this week in a special election. And so when abortion is top of mind, when this president and Democrats can run on the things they've accomplished for the American people, and when the leader of the Republican ticket looks likely to have been tried and probably convicted of at least some of the 91 felony counts he's facing, the political environment could look very different than it does today, which is why you got to have strong, tough candidates and run real races in every district, including the 8th congressional. You can't beat something with nothing. And this one is worth investing in and fighting for without question.
Joe Zepecki, thank you so much as always. Absolutely unapologetic to tell you that me and Chicago, we go way back. Always a favorite. I take it personally when I hear Dire Straits in that song when they say it. You don't give a damn about any trumpet playing band. I'm like, no. I like the trumpet playing bands. Okay, why is he telling you all this?
Is that supposed to be specifically about Chicago when he says that?
I don't know.
I think it's more storytelling than it is like a direct accusation about the group.
Maybe you shouldn't take it so personally.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I like trumpet playing bands.
I was in a trumpet playing band.
Really?
Me too.
Did you play, did you play the trumpet?
No, I was a guitar and backup singer.
Okay. So it's like when Kristen talks about being in the marching band and she, you know. What'd you play, Kristen?
Cymbals.
Sorry.
Patrick Tyrone Ilyanovich. The cymbals are an integral... No, I'm never going to call you by that name. Integral part of the marching band. Don't you ever slag them off.
I would never say otherwise. Just that, you know, when we're talking about a trumpet playing band, we're talking about the band Chicago, which was formed this day in 1967.
Wow.
When a group of music students at DePaul University in Chicago gathered in one of the guy's apartments and decided they were going to form a 7-piece rock ensemble with horns. They first called themselves The Big Thing. Then they changed the band's name to Chicago Transit Authority. And then they got a call from the Chicago Transit Authority saying, please stop that. And they've cut it to Chicago, and that's where they've been ever since.
It's awesome. I love Terry Cathier's. It's some of the greatest 70s music ever created, period.
So good. I mean, I'm trying to decide what to play here, looking at all the singles that they had throughout the early to mid-70s, then the 80s, the David Foster period.
Yeah.
Which if you ever see the documentary they made about their band's history,
yeah,
they're not fond of the David Foster era where everything was the love ballad. You know, they got away from the horn bands and... It's a good show, but it reminds you, like, every group is prone to making these changes. And sometimes they like them, sometimes not so much. Dr. Lyerly is with us now, and you have that all-nighter kind of look to you. And I say that in part because, again, Dr. Kreitlow over here, I think, I always know when I don't get a text like in the morning or something on a call night, I'm like, I knew she was going into the night with like two deliveries pending. And I'm not saying that's what happened to you. I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised if you've had a busy night.
Because I am coming to you live from my call room.
From the hospital, yes.
Very comfortable bed that I slept in last night.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And those hospital pillows covered in plastic. Mm-hmm. So cozy.
I like
We have had some great obstetrical successes overnight, and I have a patient who is pushing. So if I run away at some point unexpectedly, we're having a baby.
That's what I was going to ask. I'm like, at some point, am I going to hear beep, 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 and then off you go. So that's okay. Hey, you've got the next hour in good hands. You've got a good guest for us on the Women Win Wisconsin segment.
Oh, yeah. Sarah Harrison is a really special guest today. She's running for assembly down in the Brookfield area, so just west of Milwaukee. And this is a woman who quit her job because she was so dedicated to becoming a leader and to just creating a better future for her kids. And I just can't wait for you all to hear her because she's passionate and driven, and she is the future of Wisconsin, like so many of the people that we feature on this segment.
I will be listening directly because my mother lives in Brookfield. In fact, I will text her and tell her to listen to the interview so she has an idea of who's running to try to do good things for her community.
And that's what's called organic audience growth.
Right.
one call, one text at a time. On this day in 1961, a group called the Marcells stepped into the recording studio, and this is what came out the other side.
Bomb, 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 dang, 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 ding, dong, ding, blue moon, moon, blue moon.
Aren't you expecting like to see Fonzie pulling up on a motorcycle right now at Arnold's?
Where is my pony skirt?
On this
stick to medicine.
On this day in 1987, Ben and Jerry's introduced a new flavor, Cherry Garcia, named after the Grateful Dead frontman. I'm still more of a fish food guy myself, and I couldn't tell you one song from the band Fish.
Oh, I could talk about it for hours.
I love fish food ice cream. Susan B. Anthony, the suffragist, was born this day in 1820. On this day in 1879, which would have been her 59th birthday, President Rutherford B. Hayes signed a bill allowing female attorneys to argue cases before the Supreme Court of the United States.
What? We're too fragile for that.
I know. Isn't that right, Justice Kavanaugh? I like beer. You know.
But Patrick, what if they have their monthly during a trial?
Jeepers.
Don't speak of their monthly.
Oh my. We've come far. On this day not as far as we should.
No.
On this day in 1975, the number one single and the number one album belonged to Linda Ronstadt. She was not yet a superstar when that came out, but it obviously got a lot of people's attention. She did become a superstar, and yet I would still contend she is underappreciated for that voice. Yeah. God, that voice.
Because of her, we got the Eagles.
Yes, the one that created the Eagles from her backup singers, helped them get together. Megan Thee Stallion is 29 years old today, birth name Megan Pete. This should be Chris Farley's 60th birthday. He was born 60 years ago today. Yeah, I know.
That's crazy.
Taylor Swift. Boy,
who?
It's been eight. Who? Taylor Swift took the Grammy for Album of the Year 8 years ago today in 2016. It was 8 years ago. She got the Grammy for the album 1989. Probably hear a little bit more before the day is out. It's National Gumdrop Day, National Butterscotch Day, Black Girl Magic Day, Susan B. Anthony Day, World Hippo Day and World Anthropology Day, the study of human behavior, biology, and how human societies function. To which I say, good luck. We're not making it any easier for folks. All right, if Kristen's sticking around and not doing her impression of Johnny Bench, then she's going to be back for our Women Win Wisconsin segment. Coming up in our next hour, Brittany Merlot with the forecast. Coming up right after